Welcome to the Big Dreams Great Teams podcast with me, your host, Paula Maidens. I'm a mum of two, a hiring and leadership coach, speaker, ex-corporate recruiter, and serial entrepreneur who is obsessed with teaching capable business owners just like you how to become graceful and powerful leaders surrounded by a team who perform like rock stars. On this podcast, we'll be talking about all things people, business, and leadership because big dreams need great teams. You simply cannot do it on your own. I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive in. Hands down, one of the most common questions I get asked with existing clients and potential clients is, how do I have this conversation that I need to have with this person? How do I deal with this situation? And how do I communicate what I need to say in a way that's kind, in a way that's effective? Like, how do I say it? How do I phrase it? And so I thought I'd dive in here today and deal with exactly that. How to have difficult conversations. And share with you some tips so that you can start to practice the art of having difficult conversations, because that's what's required. Practice, preparation, so they can suddenly or eventually start to feel less difficult and more easy for you to have as a natural part of your role as a leader in your business. Now, I have an awesome short course where one of the modules is exactly that. Having difficult conversations. And I always send my private clients to have a look at that course. So that's available to you too. But I'm going to dive into, you know, and give you a bit of an overview and my top tips today as to how you can start to put a bit of a framework around having a difficult conversation and how you can start to move through them, through these conversations to the other side and get practiced in them so they can start to feel a little bit easier. So first of all, let's start with what is a difficult conversation? Like, what am I talking about when I use the term difficult conversation? And I've got my fingers up doing the quotation marks. Basically, I'm talking about any conversation, anything that you need to bring up that makes you feel uncomfortable or where you are worrying about how the other person is going to react if it's going to make them upset or uncomfortable. It might relate to you needing to discuss with somebody a mistake that you've noticed. It might be you needing to give someone feedback on poor performance. It might be a conversation about bad hygiene. It might be about coming into work late or noticing that someone's not getting through all their things that they need to get done. It might be noticing that somebody is only really online between 10 and 12 and you have an expectation that they are there between 9 and 4. So difficult conversation encompasses all the things that you want to bring up that you feel uncomfortable about bringing up and that you know is affecting their ability to do their job or the performance and the outcomes that you're seeing from them. Because the reality is, as leaders, you need to have these conversations. We need to have these conversations because people treat us the way we train them to treat us. I'm going to say that again. People treat us the way we train them to treat us. And by saying nothing, by not having this conversation, by not bringing it up quickly and fluidly, you're actually sending a message that whatever the person is doing is okay because people treat us the way we train them to treat us. So if it's not okay what they're doing, you know, sort of their bad hygiene or coming in late or not producing the results or the outcomes that you're looking for, then the black and white of it is you need to talk to them about it. And if it feels uncomfortable, it's going to feel difficult for you to talk about, hence learning the art of difficult conversations. So let's dive into that today. Let's talk about how you make a difficult conversation feel easier. And I'm going to share with you some tips and some really practical things to get you moving through these conversations with confidence. And I promise the more you practice having them, the more you get used to being uncomfortable, bringing it up anyway, phrasing it in the best possible way and getting practiced at actually just doing that, the better you are going to get at it. So these tips are about helping you get into that practice stage. It's not about not having it until you feel perfectly ready or being perfect in the way you present and bring these things up. It's not about that. It's about getting you doing the conversations, getting you practicing the art of having difficult conversations. So with that practice, they will become and feel easier. Let's dive in. The first tip I want to share with you and the first The first rule I want to share with you is that if you need to have a difficult conversation with somebody, when you need to have a difficult conversation with somebody, you need to prepare. You need to write down notes before you go into the conversation about what you want to say. You don't want to put yourself under the pressure of trying to have the conversation on the fly, because what you're doing is you are putting yourself under enormous pressure to suddenly be really articulate, to be able to think on the spot and phrase in the best way possible the difficult thing that you need to say. And let's face it, difficult conversations are uncomfortable. And with that discomfort often comes emotions and nerves and all the things. So the first thing I want you to hear and take away is that you need to prepare for those conversations in advance. You need to prepare what you want to talk about. And that is having a specific example written down, prepared, and thought through that you plan and want to discuss. And it means preparing the exact language that you are going to use. So how are you going to phrase saying the thing that you need to say? That all needs to be done in advance, and you don't want to do that on the fly. Second tip I want to share with you is if an opportunity comes up to talk about the difficult thing, you need to take it. You should take it. So yes, you want to be prepared, and it's almost like you want to be preparing as you go. So for example, hey, I've noticed somebody making a mistake. I've noticed they're doing that. I've noticed that a few times. That's annoying me. I'm going to make some notes right now about what I've observed, the specific situation, what I'd like to say about it. And then you come up with a plan as to when you would like to talk to the person about it. However, if an opportunity presents itself before you're having that, you know, meeting that you'd like to have, for example, you want to take that opportunity and run with it. So you might be having an everyday conversation with the person and they might say something like, oh God, I'm so over this, or I'm finding this so tricky, or, you know, this is really annoying me when I have to do this, or how, you know, this is part of what I need to do, or I'm struggling here. So any sort of like statement like that can present to you an opportunity for you to jump into introducing the conversation. And you can link it to the conversation and the thing that you know you need to bring up. So for example, I would suggest you use a positive connecting phrase such as, yeah, I've noticed that too. And I'd love to at some stage talk to you about that a little bit more. What that'll do is help you to plant the seed that we're going to discuss this and to set the tone from the conversation in a really relaxed, normal way. You can then decide, is it appropriate to continue this conversation right now? And you can make that decision based on how prepared you feel, but also what is the circumstance you found yourself in. Consider the timing and the environment. So is it right to actually dive deep and really get into the nitty-gritty of this thing that we need to talk about? So you're grabbing the opportunity, you're planting the seed that a conversation needs to be had, but is now the right time? So you assess that by looking around the environment. Is it private? Is the person racing out the door? Are we about to, you know, does someone need to get to school pickup? Are we going to run out of time? Are we going to have the space and time we need? You get to decide. And if it's not appropriate, then you say, let's chat about that next Monday, or let's put a time in the diary to actually go through that and have a proper conversation about it. So the first rule is you need to plan and prepare the things that you're noticing, write down specific things and write them down as you go. And then the second tip is take an opportunity to at least bring the conversation up and consider whether you can actually have the conversation then, or if you need to make another time. The other really beneficial thing when it comes to bringing up difficult conversations is actually simply having a preset time in advance that you'll be regularly meeting with the person. Now, I recommend to all my clients that they meet with their team at least monthly or weekly, depending on the person's role and how much like interaction they need with them. So weekly might be appropriate or monthly might be appropriate. However, by having a set time in advance, already in the diary, when you are going to meet with that person, what that does is creates the opportunity in advance. It's always there. So the opportunity is always there for you to bring up something or for them to bring up something that they need to. And just by having the time already in the diary in itself makes bringing the conversation up easier, because it's not one of those situations where you're emailing the person saying, hey, I need to talk to you about something. When can we catch up? I don't know if you've received one of those emails, but I certainly have, as a boss, as an entrepreneur, as the business owner, where I've received the email from somebody saying, hey, I really need to talk to you. You know, do you have some time tomorrow? And then I sit there going, oh God, what does this person want to bring up? Are they going to resign, et cetera, et cetera? And your mind just races away. So you can imagine that you want to avoid doing that to someone on your team as well, because what happens to their productivity? It'll just tank. So by having a set time where you're already scheduled to catch up every week, every month, just provides this perfect opportunity to bring something up that may feel a little bit uncomfortable. And it also provides it to them as well. So regular meetings can just simply remove and certainly reduce that nervousness or that anticipation around calling a meeting about an unknown reason. So when we're having a conversation with somebody that feels difficult, that is a little bit uncomfortable, it's natural that emotions may escalate quickly. So to minimize this, if you need to bring up something that feels difficult, if you need to bring up something where you know that the person may not receive it well, they may get upset, etc., the language that you use becomes really important. And you want to use depersonalized language. And this is another reason why planning your language, planning the conversation you need to have in advance becomes really important. So depersonalized language helps the discussion not be received as a personal attack. And whilst I can't promise you that depersonalized language will always get you that result, it certainly helps it to be received that well. And when I talk about depersonalized language, that means talking about the business. So almost separating the situation from you as an individual or them as an individual. So it's about talking about the business needs the person in this role to produce X. The business needs to know that somebody's online between 9 and 4. So it's not about what they're doing and how it's making you feel. It's talking about the impact of what they're doing and how the impact is impacting the business and what the business requires from the person in this role and the impact to the business if the person in this role is not doing X, Y, and Z or doing things in a different way. So let me give you an example. Personalized language would be saying something like, it really annoys me when this happens. It really annoys me when you do this, or I've noticed this has happened and it's causing me to feel like this. Really personal. And in fact, you can probably like hear, you know, the pointy language, almost like I'm pointing a finger at you. When you do this, it makes me feel like this. So very, very personal. So instead of I need you to do this for me, heavy personalized language, you want to flip that into what the business requires is the social media schedule to be prepared in advance by the Friday the week before. And that way, anybody in the business can come and review that first thing on a Monday morning, have a conversation about it first up on the Monday morning, and then be able to schedule it for the rest of the week so that the rest of the team can be in flow, for example. So the business needs somebody who can do this. The business is looking for the person in the role to be doing this. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. And I hope that's really clear the difference. So the personalized language is when you're talking about you and the way you're doing something. And we can depersonalize it entirely by talking about what the business needs from this role and the impact that that has on the rest of the team and therefore the overall business. The next tip or point I want to share with you, and if you've been listening for a while, you've heard this one before, and that is, when you're having a difficult conversation, when you're bringing up something that is uncomfortable to you, you want to bring it up, share what you want to say, and then listen. And I'm sure you've heard me say this before, you want to be curious rather than furious. So listening probing, peeling back the layers, asking a question, listening again, asking an open-ended question, listening again. So tell me what you meant by that. So tell me what happened from here to here. So what were you thinking that led you to do that? So talk me through the process from here to here. So you can see open questions, you know, from neutral questions, like exploratory questions where you're genuinely curious and you're trying to understand, why did this happen? Why is this happening? What don't I know about or understand that is leading to this outcome or this situation that we're discussing? That's the angle that you want to come at this from, as opposed to, I need you to know that I've noticed that you're doing this and I don't like it and I want it to stop. That's furious. We want to come at it from the, I wonder why this is happening. I've observed this. The impact of this to the business is this. And so I'm curious to understand from you the situation, what's happening, why did you think that was okay, what made you think that was the right thing to do, what's driving that, what's stopping you from doing it a different way, et cetera, and how can I potentially help you with that to navigate the person in this role to be able to do what the business requires them to do. So a really great like rule to apply in any difficult conversation is the good old 80-20 rule. 80% of the talking needs to be them, 20% of the talking is you. Yes, you'll share with them, you'll bring up the situation, you'll share with them the specific example that you've observed, and then you need to listen. Ask a question, listen. Ask a question, listen. Stay calm, ask another question, listen. Because the reality is if you go into one of these tricky conversations and you're the person who does the majority of the talking, then what you're also doing is just letting them do nodding and listening, and you will walk away none the wiser. You won't walk away with any more information than what you had before, and you'll walk away crossing your fingers, just hoping that something will change. And my experience is that it usually doesn't. You need to peel back the layers and get to the heart of why it's happening, what went wrong, why they thought that was a good idea, and to go forward from there. Most problems, most performance issues, most challenges in businesses come down to one of three things. It's either a training challenge, so the person doesn't know how to do something, a system issue, they didn't know they needed to do something, or a willingness challenge, they don't want to do it. So you need to be curious rather than furious, exploring and understanding, which one of these things is it? And how can the business solve it? And is it solvable? So if you do too much talking, you don't get the information you need to feel confident that's not going to happen again. We've resolved the situation. Which leads me to suggest and to recommend that you don't want to react throughout this conversation in a strong way. You need to be really considered in your responses. And if you are unsure at any stage through the conversation, what is the right way to respond? What is the right way to react? Then you need to get yourself some time. So a phrase that I teach my clients is, thanks for sharing that. I'll need to think about it, or I'll need to process it, and I'll come back to you. Thank you for giving me that information. Thank you for sharing with me that situation. I'm so pleased I understand. Leave it with me and let me have a think about how that sits with what the business requires. Let me have a think about it. There is nothing wrong with just asking for time to process the new information that you've received. Because great leaders react and respond in a considered way that they're proud of later, not in a way that matches or meets the emotion or the stress of the situation that they're facing. So, if you find yourself, for example, on the receiving end of a request for more money, a blanket rule would be to never say yes, never respond to it. You know, you want to say, thanks for letting me know that's what you're after. Leave it with me. Let me go and run some numbers. Get yourself the time in every situation to actually think about it. You don't want to react and respond on the spot. And you would have heard me right there starting to use the language of saying thank you. Now, regardless of if you are not appreciative of the information that you have just heard, the reasons that have been shared with you, I get it. We want to say thank you to create a safe environment for the person to be able to share honestly whatever it is that's stopping them from doing their job, that's making it difficult, or the reason why they don't want to do it. So although you may not like what you've heard, you can still be thankful and grateful that you now know it. So say thank you. Thanks for sharing that with me today. Thank you for having this conversation with me today. Thanks for bringing all of this to my attention. And, you know, you may even need to say it multiple times to make sure that they actually hear it and they feel safe. Because if it's a difficult conversation for you, if you're feeling uncomfortable, it's pretty safe to say that they're also feeling uncomfortable. And we want people to feel, yes, uncomfortable, but more importantly, safe. Safe to say the things that they need to, safe to share with you something that's uncomfortable. And you need to be able to receive it in a way that shows them that they're safe, even though you might be feeling really cranky and resentful and all the things inside. And just by saying the words, thank you for sharing that with me. Thanks for letting me know. Thanks for today's meeting. I really appreciate that we've had this conversation and that you have listened and been so open to what you've heard today. There's some language. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then, of course, when we're wrapping up that meeting, you want to make sure you agree the next steps. So based on what you've discussed, wrapping up with a thank you, where do we go from here? If you've asked for some time, okay, so I'm going to take some time to think about this, to run the numbers, to think about the impact on the business, and I'm going to come back to you in about a week, for example. Or better still, I'm going to come back to you by next Friday. So agree the next steps. Are they coming back to you? Are you coming back to them? Are they going to go away and research something? Are you going to, you know, leave it with them? Okay, so thanks for the conversation today. We've agreed that you're going to do X, Y, and Z. The next time you're going to do this, this, and this differently. And how about we, you know, let me know if you've got any questions as you're doing that. And how about let's come back and have another conversation about what it looks like in a week or two's time and see if it's changed. So making sure that you agree the next steps as part of that wrap up. And then the final thing I want to say is making sure you follow up. One of the biggest things that I see in lots of the businesses that I work with is a lack of accountability. It's almost like someone's asked to do something, they don't do it, and nothing happens. Like there's no accountability and there's no consequences. So when you need to have a difficult conversation with somebody, you've prepared, you've written down your specific examples that you've noticed along the way. You've prepared your language. You have made a time that's appropriate to sit and talk to the person. And or if an opportunity has come up before that, you know, pre-agreed time, then you've planted a seed, maybe linked into actually having that conversation then or set a time for it later. You've explained to the person what you've observed. You've stayed curious rather than furious. You've asked lots of questions. You know, you've gathered lots of information and you're starting to get a sense of, is there a training gap? Is there a systems gap? Or is there a willingness gap? You've said thank you. You've acknowledged the person. You've gotten yourself some space if you need to by saying, I need to go away and think about that. I need to think about the impact on the business. I need to run the numbers, etc. You've thanked the person for the conversation. You've thanked them for sharing the information with you. And so the critical last thing is to follow it up. Make sure you meet with them when you say you're going to. If you need more time, let the person know you need more time and roll out the follow-up time. If you've had a heated or an emotional conversation and you've forgotten to arrange the next steps, no worries. Just reach out to the person the next day. Create the safety that way by saying, hey, thanks so much for that conversation yesterday. I've really been reflecting on it. How are you feeling? I feel like what we should do next is X, Y, and Z. Should we catch up next week to cover X, Y, and Z? How does that sit with you? So, you know, the power in difficult or uncomfortable conversations turning into positive ones that build your relationship, that create a safe environment, and that inspire people to expand their performance and elevate their performance comes from the follow-up, comes from, you know, the person understanding what they need to do, and then you supporting them to do that by following up and doing what you have said you would do as well. So I hope that that has given you some thoughts about how you can move forward and start to have an uncomfortable or difficult conversation that you need to. And as I said, I do have a short course called The Fundamentals of Leadership, where one of the modules is called The Art of Difficult Conversations. And I've even got live examples in there of language and feedback that I've started to share with you today. So it's a really great little short course if you're looking to learn more. However, what I want to encourage you to do is just to take a step forward. If you have something that you need to bring up with somebody, if they're not performing to the level you'd like them to, if there's something that's niggling you about, you know, you feel like they're not online when they should be, they're coming in late, they're not doing something to the level you're looking for, and it's disappointing or frustrating, or, you know, it's starting to build resentment in you, then I so encourage you to take a step forward, because you're not going to wake up one day and suddenly feel like you know how to do this. You need to take these nuggets, like I started to share with you today, you need to learn the art, and then you need to start taking the steps forward to practice these conversations, to practice normalizing these conversations as part of being a leader. And on the other side of that, they will start to feel easier. So I hope that this has given you some tips to move forward and a resource to dive into if you'd like to. So it's over on my website, paulamaidens.com. Go to the Learn tab and it's called The Fundamentals of Leadership. So if you want to go and check that out, you can. It's only $147. It's four modules of about 30 to 60 minutes each. Hugely practical information. And all my clients really benefit from the language. So that's what you're going to get in there. And I really hope that's what you've heard today as well. Some examples of the language of how you get yourself the pause, how you respond to something you didn't want to hear, how you say thank you, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so good luck, everybody, having those difficult conversations and bringing up the thing that I know you need to bring up that you're procrastinating over. And I'd love to hear what you think. As always, feel free to reach out to me over on Instagram. I'm at Paula Maidens Consulting. It's always me in the DMs. But yeah, I will be back here next week. That is all. Hope it's been helpful. Have a good one.